If I open it up, I might find out what's really in there. So what do you think I should do? Open it? Should I? Okay, well, let's give it a try here. Look! Lovely wind chimes. How cool. Now that was an actual gift that came to Fred and I last week, and it didn't have any card with it, so it was a bit of a mystery gift. But it turns out that it was wind chimes sent from wonderful friends who live many states away, and they sent it in honor of our good friend who passed away 2 weeks ago. How sweet and kind of them. Now, if Fred and I hadn't opened up that box, we wouldn't enjoy the chimes. Fred wouldn't have had to have climbed up and hung them up on the porch and then climb back up last night when I said, "Honey, I need those for the sermon today." And he went and got them again. And we wouldn't have the opportunity to remember our dear friend when we hear them chime. All of that if they had been kept in the box. It was important to open up the box and see what it was. Now, there's another story about a box. Do you remember Pandora? Pandora opened up a box and let out demons and destruction, right? And I think we've kind of let Pandora's story control a lot about us in our lives. So today, I want us to think about our faith, about God, and about how we view this life as something in a box. Okay? Do we treat it with fear and trepidation? Are we afraid that if we let our faith, if we let God out of a box, that we're going to be like Pandora and unleash something horrible? Or do we take a chance? Are we willing to open up the box of life and experience what we would have missed otherwise? Those are good questions for us. So let's explore this through Abraham and Sarah. Because like many biblical people, they had boxes of assumptions and understandings that when they opened up the box, it changed their worldview. Now, their box was about God, Yahweh, in comparison to the gods with a small letter G, okay? That's their point of reference. So you recall a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Abram and Sarah, that they had the box of their lives opened up when God called to them, right? And they climbed out. They climbed out of their comfort zone and out of their preconceived understandings of life to follow the call to go and be blessed to be blessings. They trusted God without really knowing who God was. Have you thought about that? They didn't know who Yahweh was. Yahweh was not one of their Sumerian gods. Now, this maybe seems weird and a little, you know, hocus-pocus-y to us, but it was a big deal for them. They were leaving and following God, and they didn't know anything about this God. They didn't have a Bible to guide them. They didn't have a teacher to tell them what to think or believe. They didn't have a creed or any doctrine. They came from a culture of small g gods. They had fertility gods who granted children and controlled weather. They had sun gods who let the sun shine on the crops. They had war gods who led them into battle against their enemies. They had sea gods who guided them safely across the waters. And every single one of these small g gods had to be appeased. You had to keep those gods happy, or the sun wouldn't shine, and the rain wouldn't fall, and the storms and the water would take you away. This is the world of Abraham. And it was the world of Isaac, Jacob. It was still the world when David was around. It's even the world in Jesus' time with the Greek and the Roman gods. So this backdrop of the small g gods compared to Yahweh is what brings us to today's story. Abraham and Sarah believed that they were never going to have a child. So much so that Sarah gave her handmaid Hagar to Abraham and he fathered her son Ishmael. Yet God nudged on that box. God shoved on that box of their assumptions and their understandings, and God brought about something new. And in their old age, Isaac was born. In chapter 22, then, when Isaac was of a certain age, and maybe like an early teen, maybe, we know he's weaned. We don't know exactly how old he is. It's when God tells Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom I know you love deeply, and go to the land of Moriah. And when you get there, I want you to offer Isaac to me as a burnt offering. That command, folks, is why this story is one of the most challenging passages in Scripture. It is. Now, we know the outcome, right? But just pretend for a moment that we don't. What would it have been like for Sarah to have waited all these years, and then watch your husband and your only child march up a mountain, knowing that your son is not going to come back? What would that have been like? How could God do this? What kind of God is Yahweh? If Yahweh requires this human sacrifice, it gives me the willies to think about this. Abraham and Isaac go up the mountain where they build the altar. And again, the writer of Genesis really gives us no insight as to how Abraham actually felt about what's going on. He seems set on offering his son as a sacrifice. So just a show of hands here, how many of you fathers have sons that are here in this room today? If you've got a son, raise your hand. Fathers, would you do it? Would you? No, Mark, thank you. Mark is shaking his head no. Would you take your son up a mountain as a burnt offering to God? So what is this all about? Like most Bible stories, there are two levels of meaning here. One is the personal up close one, and one is the broader scope of meaning for us. So the first of the up close one is it's a story of faith and obedience, right? It even says that in the text, Abraham obeys God's command. And when God sees that Abraham is going to be obedient, God stops the whole thing. And it can be that story. Yet that still leaves us with a question, what kind of a God does this? What kind of God tests people this way? Is this a God that I want to obey and follow with my life? If we stay here with just the personal up close meaning of this story, it means that we have not taken the lid off the box. We have not created a safe place for hard questions to be asked in the church, and this is exactly why people are leaving the church all over the place, because they don't have a place to ask hard questions about passages like this. And they want to ask those questions. When we offer only the simple, up-close answers, saying that this is only about Abraham's trust and his faith, it leaves people wanting more, wanting deeper conversation, wanting opportunity to wrestle with the Word of God. That answer, if it's only about Abraham's obedience, leaves God in the box. So let's look for a broader idea here, something that is about the nature of God. Because you see, Abraham didn't question, did he? He just went up the mountain. Well, there's a daggone good reason why Abraham didn't question when he went up the mountain. It's because all of those little g gods required human sacrifice. It was the norm in Abraham's day. It was not unusual at all. It's unusual to us in our 2018 version of how we understand Scripture, but it was the norm for Abraham. So when God provides the ram, and when the angel of the Lord stops him and says, "Don't do it," it's huge. It's gigantic. It's a big, fat, hairy deal, folks. It's awesome. Not just for Abraham, but for everybody in the world at that time, and even for us today. Because the message is that this God is the big G, capital G God. This God is Yahweh, and this God does not require human sacrifice. This God doesn't need to be appeased with human blood. This God loves and cares and has mercy and grace to give life, not to take it away. God is climbing out of the box, and Abraham's faith and worldview is changed. This God provides. And similarly, for many, many years then, was the practice of animal sacrifice for the Jewish people. And then the prophets began to say something different. And Micah spoke up prophetic words about faith and practice when he said, "With what shall I come before the Lord?" And he goes on and he says, "Shall I come before the Lord with a burnt offering of a calf? Will the Lord be happy if I sacrifice 10,000 or thousands of rams? Or if I give God 10,000 rivers of oil?" He's exaggerating here. This is hyperbole. But he's asking the question. And then he says, "Shall I give my firstborn for my sin? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Micah is reflecting the theological questions that came about in his day. Do you remember hearing about the prophet of the god Baal? Baal asked and demanded these kinds of sacrifices. But Micah goes on and says, "He's told you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God." You see, God kept pushing on the box, and God kept broadening Israel's understanding of who this holy divine presence that they called Yahweh was. So what does God want? Human sacrifice? No, we learned that through Abraham. Animal sacrifice? No. God doesn't want that. God wants us. God wants us. Justice and kindness and the life lived humbly with God. This is what we find when God comes out of the box of assumptions and preconceptions. You know, it is sad because I think today God remains in the box for so many of us. I bet you most of us grew up with God as this old white guy with a long beard, right? Isn't that true? Isn't that kind of the Sunday school image that most of us had of God? And we may still see God that way today. Yet the good news for us is this. God is bigger, kinder, more loving and gracious than we can ever, ever imagine. That is great news. The good news is this, that while God longs for us to pursue justice and love kindness and walk humbly with him, God is going to provide for us like God did for Abraham. The good news is this God with the capital G put on skin and came to earth in the person of Jesus to teach and guide and lead us to God's kingdom. So yes, this is a story of faithful obedience. And it is a story of God's faithfulness and overpowering grace when we let God out of our preconceived ideas of who God is. Like the chimes that Fred and I got. If we'd never taken them out of the box, it would have just clanked and clunked around, and we would have never known the beauty of the gift. So folks, may we open our hearts and our minds, the box of us, to see God, to experience God, to be loved and embraced by God, who is bigger and more wonderful than we can ever, ever know. Open up the box and see what happens. Let's pray. God, how thankful we are for the bigness and the mystery of who you are. How thankful we are, Lord, for love that reaches down and provides for our needs, for love that shows us grace. Give us faith, give us obedience, but mostly give us courage to open the box and let you be God. We pray in your name. Amen.